will would be done perfectly here on the earth, just the way your will is done in heaven. Lord, we ask for help, we ask for health, we ask for strength, and we ask all that in the name of Jesus. And Father, now for the message we bring forth this morning, Lord, I ask that we would have ears to hear, Lord, that hearts that would be softened to respond, Lord, that you would speak to us this day by your word. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We changed the order of things this morning, and I had forgotten to mention that during the song service, we pray for folks in our church. So we missed that this morning. I apologize. We'll try not to make that mistake again. If at the end of the service you'd like somebody to pray with you about anything, just come forward at the end, and we'll make sure there's time to pray. It's funny. I was thinking about the message this morning. We're in a series. We're calling it. It's called Living in the Goodness of God. It's inspired by Rick Warren. And the message today is learning to relax in God's goodness. And so I got a little quiz for everybody here. And just be truthful, because we're not going to ask you to put up your hand or anything else. Just answer these questions kind of in your own mind. If you want to nod or raise your hand, that's okay. But let me ask a question. Are you always in a hurry? Are you always in a hurry? Are you always in a hurry? And the reason I ask that is because here we are in church, and I'm thinking about how much time we have for a service on a Sunday morning, and I've got a lot of things to accomplish, and I feel like I'm in a hurry, and I'm missing things. So please forgive me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. You're all welcome to listen as well. Does everybody here have a to-do list? Is it unreasonably long? Just wanted to know. Do you use your off days to catch up on unfinished work? Anybody use your off day to finish? Oh. Hey, maybe you paid attention to the last sermon I preached on this subject a long time ago. Has anybody ever told you to slow down? Okay, all right. Do you feel guilty when you relax? Anybody feel guilty when you relax? I've got that sometimes. Do you have to get sick in order to take some time off? You know, they used to put on my time on my pay stub sick days. Now it's PTO, all right? Paid time off. You don't have to be sick to take time off. But there's a lot of people that only take time off when they're sick. Do most of your Christmas cards come from business associates? Just wondering, okay? When it's back to school night, do you forget where your kids go to school? Just wondering, you know? Do you leave your cell phone on for texting in church or at home after hours? Just wondering. I know that's true. Do your family refer to you as occupant? Okay. Do you take business-related material with you into the bathroom? You know, all of these might be signs of maybe you're addicted to your work. Maybe you're a workaholic. And the truth is that a lot of people don't know how to relax. We don't know how to relax. We're addicted to the adrenaline rush of being busy, so we don't know how to slow down, and maybe we don't even like it, or it feels uncomfortable. And the truth is that Americans in general are too busy. We're sleep deprived. I read a statistic that said we average 2 hours of sleep less today than our grandparents had 50 years ago. And so we don't know how to rest. We don't know how to relax. And so I'm going to preach a message entitled Learning to Relax in the Goodness of God. And there's two things. One is I'm listening to me preach this morning. And the second thing is this message is counterculture. Our culture will not embrace this message. This is a message from God, not from our culture. And so if you struggle with it, please do two things. Don't turn me off this morning, all right? You need to hear this morning. and whatever, that's just the one. And listen to it. Listen to what God has to say. You know, I thought about this not knowing how to relax, and I wondered if Americans today, if our culture isn't like the verse on this next slide this morning. The verse on the next slide this morning. It says, they spit out their food half chewed, unable to relax and enjoy anything they've worked for. And I was thinking about this idea. You know, we work really hard, but do we enjoy what we've been working for? And I think that's a good question to ask. Are we enjoying what we're working for? Because I want you to stop for a second, realize that God wants you to enjoy what you've worked for. It's a gift from Him. All right, so I left this verse here. It's a little bit blunt. If you're from New Jersey, you appreciate this. If you're not, just give me a little grace this morning. But it says, only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with his work. And what I was thinking is, you work so hard, you forget where you live, or you forget about your home. You forget about what's really important. And so we are now in week 3 of a series. It's based on Psalm 23. And so we're all going to read it together, and today we're going to focus on one of those verses, but we're going to talk about relaxing in the goodness of God. Would you go to the next slide? Would you all read this with me this morning? You can stand. I like to stand when I read the Word of God. So we're all going to read this together. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. Where's my soul? He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next slide. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can sit down now. I told some of you last week when we read that I was perhaps one of the last classes to have prayer in school, and this was what we recited in my kindergarten class, was the 23rd Psalm. And what I'm hoping is that I'll finally get to memorize the whole thing by reading it every week through this series. But this psalm describes God as a shepherd caring for his sheep. And there are 10 good things that the shepherd does to care for sheep that God also does for us. And so if you missed the first two messages, Micah does a great job of making sure they're up on our website. And you can listen to them there. But today, we're going to focus on just verse 2, and I think that's the next slide. There is a handout that was with your bulletin this morning. If you like to follow along, you can use the handout. I'll ask you to circle things, but we're going to just focus on verse number 2 this morning. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides still waters. And I got this little picture here. And I was thinking about how beautiful that would be, and how, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. You know, green pastures are a place of refreshment. Still waters are a place of quiet. And I was thinking about peace and quiet and refreshment and all of these things. And I was thinking about, wouldn't it be nice to take a nap out there? And I'll bet you nobody here, anybody who had their hands up early says, I don't take naps. I don't have time for that kind of stuff. I got too much to do in my life. But I want to bring your attention to one phrase here. It says, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. You know, I was reading that sometimes sheep don't want to lie down and the shepherd has to make them lie down. And so I think I'm in the right place if you think about this, that God wants you to lie down. He wants you to slow down. He wants you to take a rest. And I ask the question, is the only time you take off when you get sick? And I wonder if that's not God's way of making you lie down. You won't lie down any other way, so you get sick, so you have to take a day off and look up at the ceiling, and that's how God gets you to lie down. I think we need to relax a little bit. We need some time in our life when we let God care for our health, our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, every area of our life. He wants to take care of you. And so I'm going to talk about this morning, and I'm going to talk about, I'm looking at my watch, I might get through one point this morning, but we're going to talk about some ways, some reasons why it might be difficult to relax and an antidote for them. And there might be two, but I'm thinking I might only get through one. And so if you struggle to relax, if you are a work, 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 drive, drive, drive kind of person, one of the reasons that might be true, and this isn't true of everybody, but one of the reasons this might be true is because of this. Go to the next slide. It's that you don't understand your value. You base your worth on your work. You see, one of the reasons we can't relax is we confuse our work with our worth. We confuse our net worth with our self-worth. We confuse our value with the amount of valuables we have. And we think that if we work real hard, if I produce results, if I accomplish a lot, then I'm more value. And you know, valuable. And that is something from our culture. Have you ever been to a business meeting and you introduce yourself? And you see, you know, people want to know who you are. And so what you respond with is not so much who you are. You probably give them your name, you hand them your business card. But what you're really trying to say is, this is what I do. Because you're in a business meeting and people want to know what you do. Rarely do they want to know who you are. Because there's a difference between who you are and what you do. But in our culture, we conflate those things, don't we? We conflate who we are with what we do. And you see, a lot of people, I believe, overwork in an attempt to prove themselves. If I achieve a lot and if I produce a lot, then I must be worth a lot. I must be valuable. I must be important. I must be significant. And so some people put all their time and their energy and their effort into their work. But I want to tell you something. Your significance has nothing to do with your job or your career or your achievements. You know what Jesus said? He said, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you, you can circle this if you want, aren't you more valuable to him than they are? The birds are valuable to God. And they're valuable to God because he made them and they belong to him. So God demonstrates how valuable they are by the way he cares for them. But you know what? Birds don't produce anything except for birds. And bird poop, and that's all they do, all right? And some of them are real pretty, and they're nice to look at and everything else. Sometimes I sit on the deck with my wife, and I relax. I really do, and it's probably your fault that I relax. But we sit together in the morning, have a cup of coffee before we start our day, and that's one thing that we do that I really like, that I encourage for people to take some time with your spouse during your day. But you think about it, they don't do anything. They don't produce anything, all right? But God values them just because he created them and they belong to him. And then Jesus follows this up with a profound and simple question. Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? This is a simple question. And the answer is obvious. Yes, you are more valuable to God than they are. You're more valuable to God than birds that he cares for. He cares for them. He cares for you. And your value, and this I think is the big thing, Your value has nothing to do with your work, your title, your list of accomplishments, or what you produce. You are valuable to God because He created you. He created you in His image, and you belong to Him. Now, I just want to stop here for a moment because this is something that I think is true. As a church, we're supposed to speak to your soul. In fact, that's my goal as a pastor, is to make sure when we get together that not only do I produce a message that's consistent with the scripture, but one that speaks to your soul. So just put up with me for a minute here this morning, because I believe there are people who walk around this earth with wounded souls. They walk around with wounded souls. There were voices inside that are constantly saying, you're nothing, you're nobody, you'll never amount to anything, you're so stupid. If your head had a brain, it would rattle. I mean, these are the kinds of things that we pick up in life. We pick these things up in life, and then we believe them. And so we've heard these things said, and most of us think, I want to prove that thing wrong. And so we work really hard. Because there's voice inside that's saying you have no value, and we say, yes, I do have value. Yes, I do have value, and I'm going to prove it. And we prove it by saying, by trying to do things and prove that we're worth something. We're going to produce something. We're going to prove our worth. And I just want to say it again. It's not what you do that gives you worth, but it's who created you and who you belong to. You see, when you drive yourself to prove your worth, you can't relax. And God wants you to relax in His goodness. God created you. And let me tell you, God doesn't create anything without value. God doesn't create anything without purpose. God doesn't create anything without intention. The fact that you're alive means that God loves you and He wanted you to be alive. And the Heavenly Father created you, and that's your value. That's why you, and I want to say this, you're priceless, you're unique. There's nobody else on this planet that is just like you. And be careful whenever anybody tries to paint you into a box or define you by anything. There is no one that's just like you. God didn't make any clones or any copies. The Heavenly Father created you. Another thing that tells you that you're important is that Jesus died for you. That shows your value. Jesus didn't die for junk. He didn't die for nobodies. He died for people like you. And the Holy Spirit doesn't live in junk. God puts His Spirit inside of you when you put your trust in Him. And so you're a valuable person of incredible worth. You know, the antidote to building my worth on my work is to remember my value to God. You'll never be any more valuable to God than you are right now. And you'll never be any less valued to Him because He made you. He's your Father. And I was thinking about my own kids. My kids are valuable to me because they're my kids. They're my kids, and therefore I love them. It doesn't matter to me what they've done or where they've been or anything about them. We love them just the same. And in a sense, Carol and I created them, and God created you. And listen to this. The Bible says, God decided to give us life through the word of truth, and that's the word of Christ, so that you might be, and you can circle this, the most important of all things that He made. Circle that. I do have it highlighted up there. Most important of all the things He made. You know, God made a lot of important things. If you think about, the moon is pretty important. The moon is really important. It controls the tides here on the earth. And I think it controls some of our behaviors during the year. I'm just saying that, maybe. But its orbit is really important. The sun is really important. God created the sun. The earth doesn't have an orbit without the sun. And without the sun, it freezes. The atmosphere around us here, God created the atmosphere around us. It's really important. Without it, we don't breathe. But God says, you're more important than the sun, the moon, the atmosphere. You're more important than any of the extinct animals that lived on the earth. You're more important than all of the birds and all the environmental things in this world, all the flowers and all the grass and all of that kind of stuff. You're more important than all of these things. God decided to give you life that you might be the most important thing that God created. You matter more than the rest of creation. And I want one more for you this morning here. What gives you your value is not what you do, but who you are. And God proved it. God proved it because God said you were worth sacrificing for. You know, when people fall in love, sometimes they get like a little tattoo on their arm, right? Now, I'm not saying that's a good idea. I'm just saying. Just saying. You know, you might rush into something a little too soon, right? But some people will do that. They'll put a little tattoo on their line, their arm or somewhere else, and it's their way of saying that I love you. I love you, and I'm serious about this. And again, I'm just saying it might not be a good idea to rush into anything like that. But, you know, God never makes mistakes. He's never foolish. He's never impulsive, and he has a permanent tattoo of you. Look what the Bible says. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. In fact, one translation says, I've tattooed you on the palms of my hand. This was written hundreds of years before Christ, and it talks about how important God's people are to him, and it points forward to the cross. And when Jesus was nailed to the cross, those nails made a permanent mark in his hands. In fact, those may be the only scars that are visible in heaven. They're permanent reminders about how valuable you are to God. They say that he'd rather die on a cross, he'd rather suffer and be tortured than live for eternity without you. Your value doesn't come from your vocation. It comes from your Creator. Your worth isn't established by your accomplishments. It was validated on the cross. And you don't have to produce results to prove that you matter because God says you matter. The antidote of basing your worth on your work is realizing how worthwhile you are to God. Are you broken? Are you broken? Probably. Are you a sinner? Definitely. So am I. Are you perfect? Absolutely not. None of us are perfect. Maybe you have a disability. Maybe you have a behavioral problem. Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you have an emotional disorder. None of us are perfect. But all of us are deeply loved by God. All of us are valuable to God. We have our flaws, yeah. But you also are of infinite value because God says you were worth dying for. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute and hang on this. This is really important stuff. I want you to tell yourself the truth, especially if you've got that inner voice in your head. Tell that voice to shut up. If you ever hear it, you're not worth it. You're not smart. You're not good enough. You're not adequate. I want you to tell it to shut up. And then I want you to have another voice, your voice speaking back, and says, say this, God loves me because he created me. Say that with me. God loves me because he created me. God proved my value because Jesus sacrificed himself for me. Say that. God proved my value because Jesus sacrificed himself for me. And so if you're one of those people that is always pushing to prove your worth, I want you to relax in God's goodness by remembering you're valuable, you're valuable to him. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm looking about what's left in this message, and I'm just going to stop right here this morning. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you were not the one I was talking to this morning. But if you were, would you take this one to heart? I'm going to tell you that some of the things I just shared spoke to me. Because I'm a driver kind of person. I constantly feel that I need to prove that I'm worth it. And God wants you to know in the depth of your soul that you have value to him just because he created you, because you were worth sacrificing for, and he loves you. We're going to just close here. I'll pick up this next week. There are four more ways to relax in the goodness of God. But if you were here this morning, and God spoke to you, and God spoke to you in this first point, would you take the outline home with you? Would you take the outline home? Would you read some of the verses over and over again? Maybe listen to this message again. Let's get this settled in our life, because a life where you're working so hard but never enjoying the things that God wants you to enjoy, it's not a good life. It's not a good life. It's a life of stress. It's a life of never being good enough. I love the message of the gospel. I love the message of the gospel that says God demonstrated his love for us in this way. Then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, what an amazing thing. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He saw our value before we even did. When we were living as rebellious against him, God says, but I love that person. I love that one. I want him to be mine. I want her to be mine. I want them to enjoy a relationship with me. I want them to enjoy abundant life here and eternal life after they die. And so if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray a simple prayer this morning. We know that Jesus went to the cross, and when he went, he died for our sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. That's what he was doing on the cross. And so he obtained a pardon for us. He paid the penalty for the sins that we were responsible for. He offers us a pardon. He says, you can be forgiven. You know what you do? Pray a simple little prayer. Jesus, would you forgive me? And then there's a follow-up prayer to that that says, Jesus, would you come into my life? I want to experience this fullness thing. I want to experience all of you inside of me. I want you to lead me in life. I want you to guide me in life. I'm not sure I believe all this stuff, but I want to check this out. Jesus, would you come into my life and lead me? And I will tell you, I prayed a prayer like that over 40 years ago, and it's made all the difference for me, and it can make the difference for you. So just a simple prayer. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my life and lead me? If you pray that prayer, your name is written down on a book in heaven. It won't be erased. Your life will change. I remember for me, the burden of my sin was lifted. I didn't feel the heavy weight of all the things that I had done anymore. And so I experienced this forgiveness, and then I also experienced just the wonder of God trying to lead me and speak to me and guide me in life, and that can be yours as well. If you do that, just make sure you tell somebody, and of course you could tell me after the service this morning. Father, for the rest of us this morning that struggle to relax, help us to realize our value to you, Lord. Help us to experience, help us to feel it, help us to believe it, I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing this as a closing song this morning.